turn in our Bibles, if you brought your Bible or if you've got a device that you can swipe, I want to ask you to go to the book of Luke. We've been in the beginning of Matthew and the beginning of Luke for the last 4 weeks. And we've been doing a series called When Heaven Speaks. And it's about heaven speaking through angels primarily to people. And we looked at the life of Zechariah, how an angel spoke to him about John the Baptist that was about to be born. We looked at how Mary was visited by an angel and how an angel spoke to her about her having a son as a young 14, 16-year-old young girl. We looked at how an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. We did that last Sunday. And this morning, we're going to look at our final story about how an angel and eventually angels appeared to shepherds. And so this morning's focus is on how, these angels spoke, or an angel first of all, and then angels appeared to speak to the shepherds. So let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. I'm going to read it to you in one setting, and then just make a few comments. We're not wanting to be here for too long because we want to give you an opportunity to go and enjoy time together as a family. Luke 2, verse 8. It says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds." Say with me, shepherds. Shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. By the way, many of our songs that we sang was about that, isn't it? About this story. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." It's amazing that every time that we've seen this has come up, that the people were spoken to and said, "Fear not. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Say with me, good news, great joy. That's good. Good news of great joy. And it is for all. It's not just for a selected few. It's for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. Now imagine the shepherds now. They were afraid when one angel appeared. Now a multitude of angels appear. And they started singing and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste. Say with me, haste. So they were rushing. It wasn't just, oh. There was an urgency in their hearts. And they found Mary and Joseph. How in the world they found them, I don't know. Maybe God guided them like he did with the wise men, with a sign and with a star or whatever. But they found Mary and Joseph. It says, "And the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." So there they are. They have a brief moment in the book of Luke where we see about a story about these shepherds having an angel appear to them and what was said, and then suddenly the story is over and they depart back to where the sheep were. But I want to ask you just a question. Imagine if an important message like this has to be shared with the earth today. Some important message from heaven. We won't have Jesus come back again in this way. He will come back again to rule. But imagine an important message would have to be shared with earth. Where would that message be taken to make sure that it is shared? And we would most probably say, well, probably going to the government leaders, national, local leaders, because they have influence and they can probably, be able to share the good news. We will probably say, well, your community connectors, like your teachers, religious leaders, journalists, community influencers. Those are the people that we should actually have an important message like this go to. Maybe we will say media channels, you know, your local radio and TV stations. Well, some sort of a social, and we would be able to understand what that means if online social media would be a brilliant way for Earth to be able just to say, here's a message, just go viral with it. And the whole world would know in no time. But here we have an extraordinary thing happen. The best news that Earth has ever received has been told to Zechariah. Zechariah, your son will be born and he will be a forerunner for Jesus. The best news has been told to Mary because she's going to carry this child. The best news has been told to Joseph. He's going to be the father of this, well, stepfather, because he wasn't his child. So the people that were directly involved had been told. But none of the world has heard of this. And so the first people that heaven decides to now go kind of like public are shepherds. And it would definitely be the least people that in that context would have been kind of like set aside to say, well, I think the shepherds amongst us should be the first people to hear about this greatest event. It's not realistic because this is what shepherds were deemed as. They were uneducated and unskilled, often viewed as dishonest. They were unreliable, unsavory characters at the time. All right? They because their sheep required 7 days a week care, they could never separate themselves to just go and be part of normal temple activities and comply with regulations developed by the Pharisees. So hence, the religious people called them unclean because they never came to these religious ceremonial practices. They were always engaging with their sheep. They probably smelt a bit as well. So the shepherds were definitely the most unlikely people that heaven decided to speak to and the first ones on earth to witness the birth of Jesus. How amazing is that? You see, when we look at things here on earth, we look at it from a top-down approach. And we say, it should start there and then simmer down to those of us on ground level. When heaven thinks of importance, it looks at it from a different perspective. It says, we're going to start at bottom and work our way up. And often that's where we miss the message of heaven. Is that we think the most important people are the ones that should first hear the most important messages. But God comes and he shares it with shepherds. And they don't even have really much influence. Because they go and watch this and observe it and they return and that's it. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't say that they went about and told the whole world. Because again, who would believe shepherds? It's like, sure, guys, you witnessed the greatest event in the history of the world. Shepherds did. Just think about it. This is how God works. He chooses the simple. So I just want to mention 4 things to you. So God revealed the greatest birth of all time to those considered the lowest. So this is it. What we consider to be important is sometimes not necessarily that important to God. Oh, the people that are all the, you know, the credentials and the qualifications and the wealth. Those are the people that surely God sees as important. And not that he doesn't look at them and devalue them. But what we think is not important is often so incredibly valuable to God. He does this by showing to us that his strategy is to come and work from the bottom up. There's this beautiful verse in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul saying the following. He says, he's speaking to Christians. He says, for consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God works in a different way. And so when we look at people and we so often can say, well, they're the lowest. They're of no value. Don't ever Let that be something that robs you of what God wants to do. Because God would use the lowest to actually shame the wise. Now, secondly, I want to say is that we're probably not very different from those shepherds ourselves. I mean, maybe none of you have ever shepherded sheep out in the bush and on the fields. Understand? But the way in which the world looked at them, that they were unclean, unworthy, that's you and me. When we come to God, we have nothing to give. We're no better than these shepherds. You may have a noble career and a wonderful position and great wealth or whatever it may be in possessions or something more than what the shepherds had. A decent life and a great house to live in and a fairly, you know, commendable career. But we're not different because we all intrinsically are unclean. We all do not deserve to be recognized as the angel did. We all deserve to be rejected. But, listen to the huge B-U-T. But God in His great mercy sent His Son so that you and I, who deserve nothing, can receive the greatest gift ever. And that is what Christmas is about. That none of us deserve anything. Our lives have no meaning without Christ. And that's why Christmas should be celebrated as a reason for our existence. Christmas is such a beautiful event to recognize that we all are actually outcasts. But Jesus came to include us, to make us part of a family, and to give us recognition, and to give us identity, and to give us purpose on earth. That's why Christmas is such a beautiful moment. Listen to what the shepherds said. The third thing I want to mention is that these men responded with prompt and unwavering faith. And listen to it. They were uneducated men. They didn't know much. But the moment heaven spoke to them, they believed what heaven said. And immediately responded. And they said, hey, we heard something. An angel spoke. Angels sang. Hey, something has happened. Let's go and see. Let's go and see for ourselves. And they did. They did not wait for any form of confirmation still and say, oh, we got to have, you know, 10 reasons that this has actually happened. They just left. And I love the word haste. Just left in haste to go and see for themselves. The question we got to ask ourselves is, how quick is my response when God speaks to me? When I read, when I see the truth and I need to respond, how hasty is my response? Or is it a delayed one? How long does it take for me to believe God? To carry on, as we just dissect the story of the shepherds, we see that their worship of God came from a word from heaven and seeing a baby. Because after they'd seen the baby, they went into the stable where Jesus was with his mom and his dad, and they saw the baby as was told to them. They related why they were there. They told the story and said, listen, an angel appeared to us and said, this is going to happen, or has happened. We've just come to observe. And as they arrived, they saw, they had heard, they came, they saw. And what happened? They worshiped. Simple. Their worship came from clear conviction that the truth that they were told has indeed happened. There was a profound understanding that they had when heaven spoke and they saw for themselves. And we've got to ask ourselves the question then. With all the evidence we have today, what does our current worship of the Savior look like? Because guess what? Each one of you here, right from all the way around to the very end there, you have more proof of the Savior's birth, His arrival on earth, His eventual departure after having been killed and died for our sins. You have more proof than what the shepherds had. Much more proof. They had a word from heaven and they saw. I mean, it would have been great to see. But they didn't know the full understanding. They knew that it was a savior, but what they did from what they saw and what they heard, they immediately started glorifying, praising God. So I'm asking myself, God, I have so much more proof. I have so much more evidence. What does my worship to you look like today in the light of what we're celebrating? Christmas is real because Jesus came. And if you're still wondering about whether Jesus is real and God is real, hey, we'd love to help you. But for most of you, you have ample evidence that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. So then, we've got to ask the question, what does my worship then look like? What does my worship today look like? I'm not asking how many songs do you know. I'm asking about our surrender to the King. That's what worship is. It's not just, do you sing along when we come together on a Sunday? No, worship is a lifestyle of surrender. They went away glorifying and praising God. That speaks of they were saying something. They were, I don't know whether they sang. They were just in awe of who He is. So that is what we're referring to, is our worship is a daily lifestyle, a daily surrender, because He came. And I know so much more than what these men did. And lastly, the message from heaven also spoke of good news, of great joy for all people. You see, joy was lost back in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned. Joy was lost. And for moments during the Old Testament, we would find those moments of joy where people would just reflect and enjoy something momentarily of God's presence, and it brought some joy. But true joy came when Jesus came. We try to find joy in so many things. Christmas is a joyful occasion because it's a time of beautiful decorations. It's a time of people coming together. People travel far to go and visit family. And many of you have come to visit family. Many of our people aren't here because they've gone to visit family, etc. It's a joyful moment because we celebrate one another. We have different food or special food that we don't normally have. We set aside time to be perhaps more relaxed. So there's a certain measure of joy found in this moment. But this joy cannot just last for the 25th of December, because 26 is coming and the new year is coming. And so much of Christmas then loses its real meaning. But when we tap into the person of Jesus Christ, who brings about good news of great joy for all people, that joy becomes sustainable. It becomes everlasting. It is real. It is not determined by events, and with all due respect, by people or food for that matter. That joy is an inner joy that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Christmas is such a great moment to help us remember that joy is much more than one day. I want to close by reminding you that Christ came, and around His arrival was mentioned these words. Good news, I'll go back please. Good news of great joy for all people. Good news of great joy for all people. We've heard the news. All of you sitting here this morning know that Jesus Christ came. The question is, has it brought great joy to your life? The only way that it would not have is if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life. If you've not accepted Him as the Savior that you want to have, because it says Christ is born, a Savior has been given. That great joy becomes real when Jesus becomes what He wants to be for you and me. And then the beautiful thing is that it's not just for you and I, It's for all people. There's so many people that are still without great joy because they haven't found the great Savior.